Thank you, thank you. God bless. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to John 10:10, please. John 10:10, a scripture that I think every one of you must know by heart by now, but it's a great one. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus Christ said, "He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly." It was this scripture that started Dr. Worrell on a quest to search out of God's Word those keys and principles that would help people to manifest a life more than abundantly as Jesus Christ has promised here. This too, this scripture also is central and foundational to our ministry. Each and every one of you are in here today because you took a class called Power for Abundant Living, or at least you're going to take one. And you saw potential. You saw for the first time that it was available to live life far above what you were used to living. You saw that it was available to live life as Jesus Christ had promised here, more than abundantly. I think this is very important for us to keep in our remembrance. There are times, I know, when we become so involved with the things of the ministry, the work of the ministry, running of classes and meetings, whatever, that sometimes we get a little caught up in that too much and we forget that Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Sometimes we get so involved in what we're doing that we forget that we ourselves are supposed to be, in the midst of all that we're caught up in, supposed to be manifesting a more than abundant life. And this is really on my heart to share with those of you here tonight and also the saints and our leaders all across the country and the world. Another foundational scripture that I'd like to share with you is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 17. 2 Timothy 3:17. In one verse of scripture here, we have the entire purpose of God's Word made known unto us. The whole purpose for why we have God's Word. In verse 17 of chapter 3, "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, perfected unto all good works." That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly perfected. Well, in that thoroughly, that's the inside job, remember? That's the perfection we have in Christ when we're born again. Unto, thoroughly perfected unto all good works. You'll never have good works until you have that spiritual, that inside, that thoroughly perfection, first of all. But here in this one verse of Scripture, we see the entire purpose for God's Word, that the man of God may be perfect. That's the purpose for God's Word. Isn't that simple? We have God's Word that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly perfected unto all good works. The verse right before that, which tells us how we got the Word, says that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the Word of God is profitable, that God wants us to profit. God wants us to abound in our lives. He wants us to have joy and love. He wants us to profit, right? The whole purpose of the Word of God is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly perfected unto all good works. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have that life more than abundantly. Those are foundational. At the bottom of our lives lie that foundation. Not only that, a lot more, but that's two verses of Scripture that must be burning in our lives to walk the greatness of this life. There is a principle that works in life that I'm sure many of you have heard before, and that is that with every privilege comes a corresponding responsibility. How many of you have heard that before? Good. With every privilege comes a responsibility. Every responsibility has with it a privilege, and every privilege has with it a responsibility. For example, let's say I was back at home, and I asked my father to borrow the car to go out on a date, let's say, okay? I asked him to borrow a car, and he says, sure, you can borrow my car, take it out on a date tonight. Well, that's a privilege. He gives me the privilege of borrowing his car, using his car for that date tonight. And then I can drive around town, you know, look real cool. I can pull up to my girlfriend's door and, well, I would have probably honked the horn back then, back when I lived at home. But now we know we're not supposed to do that. Now we run up to the door and escort him out, right? I like that. I think that's good, don't you? Bet you ladies like that. I do too. But that's a privilege. To enjoy the privilege of using that car that night, right? But you know something? With that privilege comes a little bit of a responsibility. The responsibility of bringing that car home later that night all in one piece, right? I have the responsibility that goes with the privilege of using that car, of taking care of it, of bringing it home in better shape than it was when he loaned it to me. That's how privilege and responsibility work together. Well, so it is with us in God's Word and in the family of God. We have been blessed by an abundance of God's Word, right? That's a privilege, a great privilege. And with that privilege, we have a responsibility to share it. We have a responsibility of teaching God's Word, of holding it forth. Every believer in the family, in the body of Christ, has the responsibility of the ministry of reconciliation. It's a great responsibility, great privileges. And yet, I wonder sometimes where we get the idea that responsibility is a burdensome type of thing. God never intended the responsibility that we have that goes with our privileges. God never intended that responsibility to be something burdensome or hard to bear or hard to do. God never intended it to that be. Then why does it get that way sometimes? Now, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in trying to do our best, trying to do God's Word, trying to do this and trying to do that, trying to run classes, trying to move the Word over the world, trying to renew our mind, that things, you know, get a little out of kilter and we lose sight. You know, we think more than abundant life. The world's tendency is to magnify the negative things. That's the world's tendency. You know, this principle of responsibility with privilege, it applies to anybody, actually, just like I gave you the example of the car. In the world, though, a responsibility, something that must be shouldered like a responsibility, the world tends to emphasize that as being something that's negative and tends to belittle the privileges. Not so with God's Word. Not so with God's Word. The greatest privilege that could happen to any man or woman is to be born again of God's Spirit. The greatest thing that could ever happen to an individual, the greatest privilege to the life of an individual, is to be born again of God's Spirit. You know, I say this a lot, that I happen to be a member of the Way Corps, and I say that the greatest privilege in the world is to be born again of God's Spirit, to be born again Son of God, and to be in the way corps is something I can't even explain. Something I have no words to describe the greatness of. But anyway, going back to the greatest privilege, being born again of God's Spirit. With that privilege comes a responsibility. And do you know what that responsibility is? Merely to live the greatness of what that is. Isn't that hard? Isn't that terrible? I'd like for you to turn to Romans. Romans chapter 7. Book of Romans is a fantastic book. Greatest revelation dealing with our legal standing, those things which Jesus Christ or Christ or God accomplished for us in Christ Jesus on the legal grounds. We're in Romans chapter 7. And in verse 4, well, let's read verse 1, get the context here. Know ye not, brethren, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Talking about the law of the Old Testament. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should what? Bring forth fruit unto God. That we should bring forth fruit unto God. That is our responsibility, the bringing forth of fruit unto God. Boy, this thing burns in my heart that we realize the greatness of this life and this walk that we have. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more than abundantly. The whole purpose for God's Word is that the man of God be perfect, truly perfected unto all good works. The privilege, the great blessings that we have to be sons of God is fantastic. The responsibility that goes with that is nothing that's heavy or hard to bear, difficult to carry out. It's merely God wants us to live. God wants us to enjoy the abundance, the greatness of that which He accomplished for us and in us. He wants us to bring forth fruit. Now, isn't that terrible? No, it's not terrible. It's a great joy. See? Boy, this is an interesting thing. We have the privilege, first of all, right? Well, our responsibility happens to be just as great and just as fun as our privileges. And you know something? You can never outdo God. First, He gives you the privilege. Then, your responsibility is to live the greatness of that privilege. As you do that, He gives you more. He blesses you again. And it's just like a circle. You can never outgive God. See, He has this system set up where you always come out the winner. That's how it works. Fruit. You know what fruit is? Fruit is the end result of something. People plant apple trees so that they ultimately can eat apples, right? Now you plant a little seed, they water it, takes a little time, the big tree grows up, and pretty soon those little blossoms come out in the springtime if it's not too cold and they don't get frostbitten. That summer, later on, you'll have big, bright apples, maybe red, maybe yellow, depending upon what kind. Those apples are the end result. They are the ultimate manifestation of that tree. Now, of that seed, you might enjoy the shade of that apple tree, right? You might sit under it and enjoy that shade. If you're a little tyke, you might enjoy climbing up it and falling out of it on your head. A lot of things you might enjoy about the tree. But the the real ultimate purpose, the ultimate profit for that tree is to bear fruit. Bear fruit. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 4. Colossians 1, 4. Since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 6. Which is come unto you as it is unto all the world, and brings forth what? Fruit. Brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Hearing God's word brings forth that fruit. Our privilege is to be born again of God's Spirit, to have a knowledge of the greatness of this word. The responsibility we have is to bear fruit in our lives, to live that life to its fullness, in its all of its abundance. The privilege we have is seed. Remember the apple tree? The privilege is the seed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The responsibility are the apples, the fruit that seed bears ultimately. Tremendous thing. Fantastic thing. The running of the classes, all the other things that we find ourselves doing in the ministry of God's Word, in the outreach of God's Word, all those things are for these reasons. Are to see fruit in people's lives, to see fruit in your life. Jesus Christ didn't come and say, I am come that you might have life and that you might be able to work 19 hours a day until you can't work anymore, did he? Now, would anything be wrong with working 19 hours a day? No, not as long as that fruit, boy. See, that's what Jesus Christ came, as long as that life was more than abundant, as long as that purpose was coming to pass in that, the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. If that's coming to pass by working 19 hours a day, then that's what we ought to do. In fact, we ought to get to the place where we do them all together, right? But, I tell you, God would rather have me work 1 hour a day and live the greatness of His Word to its fullness in all of its beauty and its positiveness than to see me work myself into a rut and all that time not knowing the greatness of His Word, all the time forgetting what Jesus Christ came to do, allowing it to become negative and all those things. Right? That's right. Now, of course, we want to get to the place where we live the greatness of that abundance. We bear all that fruit day in, day out. See? Just like that, every moment of the day. And be able to put in a long day's work. But it's the balance that is important. Let's look at John, another one about fruit. John chapter 15. I'm not going to read this whole section in here with you, but sometime, perhaps tonight, you should. It's a real beautiful analogy and teaching that Jesus Christ gives on the vine and the branches and bearing fruit. I'd like for you to look at verse 8, though, right now. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And in verse 16, ye have not chosen me, Jesus Christ says, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Look at that. Did you know you were ordained? You are. You're ordained to bring forth fruit in your lives. Bring forth fruit in your lives. Isn't that a terrible responsibility? Huh? What's more, it says that your fruit should remain. You know, when an apple tree bears fruit, you know what happens here? We go out and pick them. We pick the fruit and eat it. It's good. But this is better than that. Your fruit remains. Your fruit remains. People are known by the fruit they bear. People are known by the fruit they bear. And you know what fruit is? I think you do, but we're going to look it up. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at that. That's what you were ordained to bring forth in your life. That's your responsibility. Your privilege is eternal life seed, born again of God's Spirit. The responsibility that you have and that I have, that each of us have, that corresponds with that privilege, with that eternal life seed, that Christ in us, is to bring forth love, joy, temperance, long-suffering, patience, all those great things in our lives. Isn't that beautiful? Simple, isn't it? Boy, what the world would do for some of those things. What the world would give for a little love, for a little joy, a little peace today. Well, you know something? They get it when they see you. Because when they see you, they see bright, juicy, tasty fruit. Makes them hungry. See? When you're abounding in the greatness of that which God has done for us, when that fruit bears in your life, something, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Boy, if I had the time, we'd go through each one of these and pick them out and go into the depth of them because they're beautiful. Reverend Walter Cummins has written a small collateral reading. You might be able to buy it in the bookstore tonight. It's called Fruit of the Spirit, and he takes each one of those fruit of the Spirit and goes in and shows you the beauty and the depth of them. I'm getting a nod back there from some of the bookstore people, so we do have it back there, so you might want to pick you up a copy if you don't have one tonight. You know, I was saying about how moving the Word and all these things, how sometimes we get caught up in them, we begin to lose a little sight that, you know, it's more than abundant life that we're interested in. Well, you know something? If you want to move God's Word, if you want to see God's Word really live today in this day and time, do you know what you need to do? All you need to do is bear fruit in your life, and it will move. See the simplicity of it? If God's Word is to live, then it lives in you first. If we want to see God's Word move us, we simply allow God's Word to move us. If we want to see God's Word to move, I said that wrong. If you want to see God's Word move, somebody's laughing back there, they like that. If you want to see God's Word move, you know, throughout the country, throughout the nations, around the world, we first simply need to see it move us, right? The bearing of that fruit in our lives is what will bring others to the greatness of this Word. That's how you move God's Word. Basically, in its simplicity, that's how you do anything. If you want to, let's say, rise up leadership. Now, let's say I'm a branch leader. And I want to train up some some leadership, some people to be twig leaders. You know how I do that? Well, it starts by me simply abounding in the greatness of that which God gave to me. It starts by me bearing much fruit in my life. Because you know what happens? People see that. And they want it. And they come to it. And you know what happens? They begin to come up with it. See? That's how leaders rise up. Besides, I can't rise up anybody because I can't believe for anybody. Neither can you. You can't walk for anybody else. But what you can do is live the greatness of God's Word yourself. And then that Word, as people see that thing, as they get blessed by it, then they say in their heart, hey, I want that. Hey, I want to be like that. Hey, I want to know God like He does. It's not you that's rising them up. It's the Word that's touching their life, and they are rising up to it. You see that? But it happens by your bearing fruit. You know what? I might as well, what am I saying all this for? I'll just read it to you in the Bible. How's that? Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Some great verses of Scripture along these lines. Verse 14 we'll begin in. 1 Timothy 14. Yeah, 4. Chapter 4, verse 14. I don't think there are 14 chapters in 1 Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that what? Thy profiting may appear unto all. Didn't we read that God's Word is profitable? Right? Here it is again. Give yourself wholly to God's Word. Meditate upon those things. Why? Reason being that your profiting may appear unto all. Look at the next verse. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's so beautiful and so simple. Take heed unto myself simply means put God first in my life. Put God first. We've heard that, right? Put God first. Taking heed unto yourself doesn't mean putting yourself first. It means putting God first in your life. See the difference? Big difference. God first, others second, you're third. Not last, because Tick the dog comes before me. I mean, does not come before me. I'm not last, I'm third, right? God first, others second, I'm third, not last. I've heard it said that way before. We're third. Remember, a lot of other things that come behind us, too. Not in front of us. But we're to meditate upon these things and give up what things? The Word. Meditate upon the things that God has done for us. Our privilege is to be born again of God's Spirit. Our responsibility is to live the greatness of that. Now, you know what that involves? Things like, He's made us more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Always having all sufficiency, abounding in every good work. I am complete in Him. If God be for us, who can be against us? Perfect health. They aren't those terrible things. Isn't our responsibility tough? No. Our responsibility is to live and enjoy and abound in the greatness of this Word, to live more than abundantly. And when we're doing that, our profiting is going to appear unto all. They're going to see that fruit that we bear in our lives. And it says that in doing this, thou shalt both save, make whole thyself and them that hear thee. It's a tremendous truth. We can't get our priorities mixed up. when I am profiting, when I am abounding in the greatness of this word, others will come. You got to get a good case of the measles in order to communicate them, right? If I am just so electrified and turned on and bubbling over by the greatness of this word, I can't help but talk about it. You can't keep me quiet. See? If that abundance is there, people are going to come. The word will move. People will abundantly share. People will rise up. That's how it works, because it's God's word that brings the increase. People don't abundantly share because you tell them to abundantly share. People abundantly share because God's word has blessed them, because God's word has turned them on, has excited them, and they want more God's word. They want to apply that word in their life. They want to reap the abundance that Jesus Christ came and promised. So it's there, see? We never have to ask anybody for money. That's why somewhere this week that came up. Somebody asked, you know, why are we asking for money? We don't have to ask anybody for money. God's word blesses their life. They get turned on by the greatness of God's word. They want to give, boy, because it's a principle of God's word. And they know that as they give, they'll get more. Right? That's the priority of things. That's what it's saying here. As God's word abounds and lives in you and I, we're going to save both them that hear us. Ourselves and them that hear us. The word save, sozo, means to make whole. And that's our theme this year. Wholeness, healing, deliverance. And we've been seeing this theme throughout our heartbeat festivals. I've only attended this second one, but I know it was there. This theme of the wholeness, the healing. And I was thinking about this weekend, heartbeat. What is our heart? We know what makes my heart beat physically. Life. That's what makes this old heart beat physically. Blood pumps through that heart and makes it beat, right? Life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It's the life of this flesh that makes that old heartbeat of mine. Yours too. Well, what about our spiritual heartbeat? Our spiritual heartbeat. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is life. The Word of God is our life. This is what gives us life. It's the Word of God. It's the life, the abundance, the joy, the more abundant life, that profiting, the bearing of that fruit in our lives. That is our heartbeat spiritually. That's our spiritual heartbeat. Isn't that fantastic? It's not running classes. No. My heartbeat is not, you know what I mean. It's not getting out of bounds and getting where I think that my responsibility to God is to pass some test before Him. I tell you, when Jesus Christ justified me, that passed every test there is to pass. My responsibility with the privilege of being a born-again son of God is to bear that fruit in my life. As I do that, the classes will roll. The people will come. The word will move. That's how it works. Isn't it tough? You know, only the world could turn something so fantastic, so beautiful, so noble as the life to which Jesus Christ has called you and I. Only the world could turn something like that into a burdensome type of walk, into something that's hard to bear. It's not that at all, boy. Just to live, just to have joy and abound in the greatness of what God did for you and I in Christ Jesus. That's our responsibility. Just to be turned on, enthused by the greatness of that word. That's our heartbeat. And that is the greatness of this more than abundant life. I'd like for you to look at one scripture in closing. The book of John, the Gospel of John, and in verse 16. chapter 16. I always say the verse before the chapter. Wrong church, right pew, or something like that. John 16, and in verse 33. Bless you. Thank you for putting up with me. Chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus Christ here says a very tender and beautiful thing. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation," mental pressure, "but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Isn't that something? Sure, out there in the world there is mental pressure if we look at it long enough, if we allow ourselves to be distracted from the greatness of God's Word and face the world and involve ourselves in the things of the world. Sure, we'll have plenty of mental pressure. The more than abundant life is in that Jesus Christ came that we might have good cheer because He overcame that world. That's the greatness of what I see, the simplicity of this walk, that we first are privileged, which is the greatest privilege there is in the world, to be born again of God's Spirit, to have the seed of Christ in us. That's a privilege beyond all else. And the corresponding responsibility that goes with that privilege is not something that God intended to be burdensome or heavy, that we have to bear the ministry and do all these things. The responsibility is merely to cause that seed that we have, that Holy Spirit, to bring forth much fruit, to bear fruit in our lives. That's it. Isn't that beautiful? Sure is. Well, Heavenly Father, I surely thank You for the greatness of Your love and tenderness to us. I thank You, Father, for the greatness of this Word and how it just thrills our lives. I thank You, Father, for how we can stand in this day and time as a family, as brothers and sisters, with our hearts knit together, hand in hand, but most of all, Father, with You as our Father, overlooking us, watching over us, and in us, with the greatness of Your Word just touching and thrilling the hearts of our lives. Thank You, Father, for Your people this night. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.